B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
I want fire. Not the right time. Not the right time.
Where's Ricky? Give me Ricky.
I think we're about to have some. Ricky.
Oh, Ricky's on the line. Let me talk to Ricky. Let's talk to Ricky. I want to hear Ricky's take on this.
All right. Now, I just have to tell people there's a 97.5 The Fanatic WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 8 o'clock, or excuse me, 9 o'clock hour, now brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Now, Ricky was off yesterday.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So he might be raring and ready to go here.
I can't wait
to spit some fire.
Yes.
Whether pro or con of Hector Neris, as well as the addition of Drew Smyly being added to the Phillies roster and their rotation. We'll see what happens in the not-too-distant future with the acquisition that was made earlier today, as reported by NBC Sports Philadelphia's Jim Salisbury. So we'll get all things Phillies from Ricky Bitalico, and we'll see where he stands on everything with Hector Neris as well. Ricky, good morning, my friend.
Hello, Mark. How are you today?
Okay, which Ricky do we have? Do we have Scorched Earth Ricky, or do we have, you know...
Calm, cool, and collected, Ricky.
Ricky, I'm just going to let you know, Trey's been dying to talk to you this morning, my friend.
Ricky.
Why is that?
Talk to me, man. What'd you feel about Hector's, the F you?
That's fine with me. That doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. Look, the only thing that bothers me a little bit is that he just had a blown save, and then he goes out and gives up a home run.
Boom!
So why are you yelling that?
You're a brilliant man, Ricky Bitalico. You're a brilliant man.
No, but... But, go ahead, Rick.
Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, I chime in every once in a while.
Yeah.
So what overrides it, the good or the bad? You didn't like it because of the homer and whatever, but you liked it still because?
I like it just because it shows he's got a little fire in him.
Yes.
He's got that little desire. Isn't that that's what that job is all about. It's about having that desire and having that will to want to just shut the game up and shut everybody up around you. So that's what I liked about it.
I think you and I are.
Ricky, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Dislike about it? There's nothing to dislike.
Talk to Mark.
About it.
Mark hates it. Oh, a bad move.
Ricky, you just said what's not to like about it. The fact that he just allowed the home run and he blew a save earlier in the season. And by the way, he's also under his suspension is under appeal.
He's getting suspended.
Okay.
By the way, you know, let's keep that.
Well, is he going to get the full three games?
You're going to tell me he threw a ball 3 feet, 4 feet away from the plate. You're going to tell me that wasn't on purpose?
Yeah, I know. I'm with you. So you think he gets the full three games?
He should. Oh. Absolutely.
All right. Now,
back in the day, I got 5 for hitting bonds, although that did start a brawl.
See what I'm talking about? See, that's why I want to talk to Ricky about this, man, because he knows.
Yeah, of course he knows.
Yes.
Now, Ricky, so before we get to Drew Smyly here, let's look at what's going on with the Phillies in general. They just take 2 of 4 from the Dodgers. And I know that the other night on post-game live on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Michael Barkan asked you about whether or not you saw this team making the playoffs, and you thought that they would. Now they've taken 2 of 4 from the Dodgers. They just made the acquisition for Drew Smyly, whatever that means to you, lefty pitcher. But do you still see this team as being a team?
Whatever that means.
Yeah, I know. We'll get into it later with you. But right now, are you still in the school of this team making the playoffs?
I think that... Look, everybody's has an opportunity to make the wild card. I mean, come on, how many teams are going to be in it in the last week of the season? The Phillies have not hit a hot streak all season long. 4 games in a row is not a major hot streak. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Sooner or later, that team's going to have a hot streak. And maybe they could distance themselves from somebody in a playoff race situation. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay.
Because this offense has got to click at some point. It's not going to be stale all season long. It can't.
Mm-hmm.
Not with the guns that they have. No way.
Okay, so
I'm telling you, they're just going to make one run, and it may be at the right time.
So assuming that the bats do come around and they're more consistent, and that seems like it could be happening now. Bryce Harper is hitting something like .312 over his last 20-some games, so that's good to see. But when you look at the rotation, they just made the addition of Drew Smyly, an .842 ERA and 9 starts with the Rangers this season. They get him from the Brewers. Is this the type of thing where you can look at a guy and say, ah, change of scenery, he's a left-handed pitcher, he couldn't be worse than what they have? How much of an impact is this acquisition?
You said it right there. He couldn't be worse than what they have.
Okay.
Veteran pitcher, left-hander, at least it's an arm. at least it's somebody you might be able to say, well, he's going to get us 5 or 6 innings. He might get us deep into a game. Can you say that about those other two guys?
No, not with confidence, unfortunately.
No. And the Phillies need help in the bullpen, so maybe that switches things up from, you know, probably, I guess it's going to be Velasquez, but who knows? Who was the move? They didn't make one yet, right?
No, not yet. No corresponding roster move. Not yet.
So you have to assume that it's probably going to be Velasquez to the bullpen and one of those garbage arms out of there.
One of those garbage baby arms, right, Ricky?
Babies. They're all babies.
Speaking with Ricky Pitalico, NBC Sports Philadelphia pre- and post-game analyst for the Phils. So, what has been the problem, then, with Drew Smyly? And if he is going to, I don't know, be better than what they have, why hasn't he been better so far this year?
I'm not saying he's going to be better. I'm just saying if you look at the situation that you have in Philadelphia right now, I think any veteran arm is better than what you have. Mm. That's the point I'm making. I'm not telling you that he's going to come over here and dazzle everybody, but at least he's an arm. He's a veteran that knows how to pitch, or presumably knows how to pitch. But my whole thing is, you know, you go to certain teams and play for certain teams, you know, Texas, Milwaukee, whatever you want to say. Especially Texas, I wouldn't want to pitch there either. That's an awful place to pitch. But I mean, I look at Drew Smyly and say he's a guy that could get the job done if they straighten some things out with him. If you look at mostly everybody who has struggled this season, it's been the gripping on the ball. It's been the location of pitches. You just have to get guys to work the inner third and outer third and stay out of the middle. I don't understand why everybody makes this so complex about pitchers. You stay out of the middle third. It's very simple. Huh. And it seems like the guys that don't stay out of the middle third, they're the ones that are getting their heads beat in all season.
Rick, did management make a mistake during the offseason not addressing, bettering the likes of Velasquez, Pivetta, and Eflin? Or did they kind of know what they had and they just decided after all the addressing of the offense that it wasn't time to address the pitching?
I think they thought they could address the pitching later on, but I think the whole Harper Machado situation really kind of handcuffed them. That's what I personally think. I think because those guys took so long to sign that it was by the time they ended up signing, people are like, where do we go from here? We can't. There was nowhere to go. So I would say Bryce Harper handcuffed them.
Speaking of Ricky Pitalico, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Ricky, Sam actually has a question for you.
Hey, Ricky.
All right, Sammy. How are you?
Hi, buddy. I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Nice. You're up early.
You have a question. This is interesting.
I do. I normally have questions. This time I get to express it.
She's busy usually, yeah.
You just lie in the weeds, do you?
Exactly. So I was wondering, do you think the two guys, it was Justin Turner and I can't remember who else, but that stepped on Rhys Hoskins at first base, do you think that was intentional?
Yeah, I do. If they couldn't get him back beaming somebody, you might as well get him back some other way. You know, the thing is like when we're watching games, we don't know what type of person Rhys is in the eyes of the other team. Like, I mean, there's guys that we've watched forever in baseball, and you say, well, that guy just seems like a jerk. We don't know if Rhys Hoskins is pictured that way for other teams, and it wouldn't surprise me if he is. Although, do I condone running over somebody's foot at first base? No. I think if you're going to go get somebody, just drop the gloves and go.
Yeah,
this is one thing that's missing in Major League Baseball. You have a lot of complainers, but nobody's going to get the other pitcher or the hitter. Just go after them. It'll end things.
So well, how do they solve that problem? Because that's something that drives me nuts about baseball now as well, Ricky. They have this kind of, I hate to call it passive aggressive, but it's definitely unfair where you could just haul a ball at somebody at 90 miles per hour, at 95 miles per hour, whatever it might be, and their retaliation is like null and void because even if they do charge the mound, everybody jumps in to break it up anyway.
It's a simplistic thing, Farzi.
Okay.
Because the problem is that none of these guys know how to hit anybody. And I know it sounds like a dumb thing. You're probably like, what do you mean they don't know how to? Because, number one, you don't really go after the head, okay? Mm-hmm. You go after the butt, in the butt area and in the meaty part of the leg area, because that sends a message. They know that if you hit them there, it's on purpose, and then you move on. But like with Hector the other night, I mean, that was up near Freeze's head. What did Freeze do to anybody?
Nothing.
Think about it.
Yeah.
That was out of anger. He did that one out of anger. That wasn't out of retaliation. That wasn't out of anything. That was out of anger because he had just given up a home run and the lead. So he figured, I'll just drill somebody here and move on. These guys don't know how to hit anybody. They're all young. They have no clue. This is the biggest. Oh, now you got me going. This is a big
problem. Say, here he comes. Yeah, here he comes. Wind him up.
Give it to me, Ricky. Give it to me.
This is a big problem with bullpens because these guys are too young. They don't have enough seasoning in the minor leagues. They have no freaking clue what they're doing when they get to the big leagues. Come on. Garcia the other night threw, what, 10 straight balls? 10 straight balls, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ooh, that's not a big league pitcher. I'm sick of this.
I agree with you.
I understand that they're thin because of injuries and whatnot, but this is just not right. This has gotten to the point where these guys have no clue at the big league level. They have no clue. Zero.
Ricky, I would champion your cause to be a pitching coach, but I don't want to lose you as an analyst, my man.
You're not. Why would you lose me as an analyst?
You would do both if you were a pitching coach?
Oh, how great would that be?
He could do post-game show in his uniform.
That would be awesome.
All right, Ricky, last one for you, man. You want to add to this rotation still? Do you think Drew Smyly is the only addition they make to the rotation, or do you see the Phillies trying to put – okay, good. Okay, what do you see?
I think another mid-range guy or a guy that's younger that could be here for a couple of years, maybe a minor, Boyd from the
Tigers.
That's what
Matthew Boyd.
I don't want them to get anybody else who's a rental that can only help this team for a couple months. You need somebody that's going to help the team for at least another year, if not two.
Now you said middle of the range. Does any of that have to do with the fact that they don't have a lot that they're willing to part with in the minor league system because that's pretty barren as it is?
Big part of it. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
They have nothing.
Yeah.
What are they going to give away? You're not going to give away Moniak. I mean, Cornelius Randolph, maybe, but Moniak or Bohm, no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Things have not worked out well for Cornelius Randolph. But, Bohm, Moniak, Medina, yeah.
They might put him on a silver platter and say, here.
Yeah, I'd like to use the term sweetener, but it ain't that sweet. Ricky Mattel.
Please and thank you letter.
Ricky, always great talking to you, man. I'll be you working today?
No.
Not a guy. Good for you. Enjoy some time off, my man.
I have 2 days off. I'm back on Sunday morning.
Good for you. Look at you, bud. All right, I'll see you. I'll see you soon enough.
Talking to Sam too. Thank you.
All right, Ricky, man.
You're welcome,
easy,
buddy.
Man.
I'll talk to you, Ricky. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Phillies pre and post game analyst on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Ricky Pitalico. Ricky goes middle of the range there. Now, a little middle of the road for spreading this rotation.
With what?
For the rotation.
Oh, for the rotation. Yeah.
In terms of what they're going to add.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But no, when it comes to an opinion, he's never middle of the road.
But he was okay with what Hector did.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, no. He was all in.
Yeah, he was all in.
He tried to appease you.
This is
you
someone
at first.
That hit Barry Bonds.
And said, come at me.
Come get some.
Roid head.
Nothing but an opportunity here. What do you want to do?
That takes some cojones, because Bonds was all roided up.
Hit Barry Bonds!
And
how do you hit Barry Bonds? Now, if that is not the ultimate F you, I appreciate Hector.
Well, not to take Ricky's story here, but it's not just that he hit Rick. It's not just that Ricky hit Barry Bonds. He hit him when he had just, I believe, come off the then-known disabled list. And he came back, and somebody got hit by some Philly got hit. And it might have, I forget who it was, the man. It might have been Francona. And goes, well, we need someone to hit Bonds now. Who wants to do it? And Ricky was like, well, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And like this went out there.
I got this.
Yeah,
I
totally just went out there and pegged him.
That's awesome.
That. And it was like, all right, well, I guess now I'm going to enjoy a suspension after my missed some time with the disabled list.
There you go. Take that suspension, and it was well worth it.
Let's get Jason in Northeast Philly up. But now, well, real quick. Matthew Boyd, 28 years old, he's a right-handed pitcher, ERA just north of 4 for the Tigers so far this year. I don't think it's going to take a lot to get him.
Well, the 2.5 years of control will up that ante a little bit.
Probably, but in terms of just like one of those pitchers talent-wise, you don't expect it to be a Moniak, a Bohm, certainly not a Bohm.
No.
And I mean, honestly,
he's having his career best year, and he's still north of 4 ERA.
Yeah, and I don't see the Phillies parting ways, even if it's they're not going to go. I don't think they're going to get Madison Bumgarner. I don't think they're going to get Mike Minor. I think the guy that they could be after is Matthew Boyd because they wouldn't have to give top dollar for him. When you look at Bumgarner, you look at Minor, that's where you would have to start flirting with some of your best prospects.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting a lot of K's this year, Boyd. I think he's 12. 12-
per nine or something average around that. So, I mean, it would be nice to have a pure strikeout guy in this rotation for sure. I think it would do wonders.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let's get Jason the Northeast up here. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, by the way, great show as always, man.
Thanks, brother.
I just want to say, it's like it seems like the pitching staff. It's like I guess they thought that one of those four, I call them the weak four, but one of them should have stepped up, made improvements from last year, and I guess that's what they thought was going to happen. But it's like they have great stuff, except for their fastballs. They don't have any movement on them, and they're throwing them right down the middle when they're blatantly supposed to be throwing outside or high and in. And that's where they're getting smashed, and it's like every pitcher is the same. Like, they all look the same.
You know what was weird yesterday with Nola? And it wasn't about intimidating or anything like that. It was like his pitches were like sailing on him. Even his curveball, he was hanging up in the zone a little bit more. And that's where one of the home runs came off him by Kike Hernandez. By the way, what the hell got into Chase Utley's adopted son, Kike Hernandez, hitting the cover off the ball? But yeah, he was hanging some breaking balls yesterday, and his fastball was certainly sailing on him.
It definitely seems like they're overthrowing like their pitches for some reason. They're not hitting their spots. I mean, even if they were like mediocre guys, I mean, throw like low 90s. If you're hitting your corners, I mean, at least you're getting ground ball outs or you're making the guy swing at your pitches, but they're missing bad. And that's what's causing them just to get crushed every game.
Yeah. Jason, first of all, let me ask you this. Do you expect them to be bigger buyers than they just were by getting Wade Smiley or Drew Smiley? Excuse me.
Honestly, I think they will be. I mean, they have it. I mean, what we all thought in the beginning of the year was their bats were going to come alive. They're going to be putting the pressure on the other teams by scoring like 6-7 runs a game, and it just not happened. I don't know if the team just thought by talent wise we're going to beat everybody by our bats, but honestly, I think that with this whole situation that happened the other day, I mean, hopefully they look at everybody like, listen, we can start kicking some booty. Let's start doing it.
Now, what's it? Oh, do you have a bucket list item for us there, Jason?
Yeah, my whole thing is I'm trying. My dad works crazy hours, and like, I really want to get him and my three kids to an Eagle game.
Oh, just a bucket list, like a family game.
Yeah, like me and my dad have been watching football since I can remember, and every time like I could try to go to the vet or back in the day going to the vet or go to the link now. He's always working. So that's basically more of like a dream thing is getting, my three kids and him just go to a game.
Well, at least you'll be able to go to FanFest. We're going to hook you up with some tickets right there. Jason, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. 610-632-0975.
Have you been a little bit underwhelmed by our bucket list wishes today?
Yes.
I think people think that we're going to help them out, so they're kind of like keeping them low. Like, oh, okay, no problem. We'll give you tickets to go to an inn. But we're not. No, everybody. Tell us your biggest bucket list.
Yeah.
Like, Trey's is... What's your
playing in Augusta?
Playing Augusta. Mine's playing Pine Valley.
Mine's St. Andrews.
St. Andrews. Jamie's is.
Mine's a RV road trip with some boys down to Alabama, Clemson.
Let's think big,
dangerous.
People. Think big.
I know your friends.
Lots of Pedialyte.
I'm doing an SEC game, football game in September.
Are you really?
Yeah. He's a Gamecock.
Oh, that's right. You're going to see a little South Carolina game in November.
Did you already have the one picked out?
Yes, we did.
What's the game?
Well, they play Alabama at home and they play Florida at home. We don't think we're going to be able to get tickets to that, so we actually lowered it down. We're going to Vanderbilt.
All right.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter because the tailgates down in South Carolina are tremendous.
Football's secondary.
Yeah, it is, very much so.
Yeah, that looks like a...
Yeah, it'll be a fun weekend.
Wee bit of a party down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm off that
week. The week?
Are you off I said we... it might be a Friday, Monday thing. We'll see.
No, the bucket list thing, we started out hot with the gentleman that said he wanted to hit baseballs off a mountain. Random.
Odd.
Doable.
Yeah.
Doable.
Yeah.
Very right. Maybe we just settle for Belmont Plateau. We'll just settle for Belmont Plateau because we can certainly do that one there. But yeah, it's been underwhelming, Bob. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
But I want to get back to this because it kind of goes in the mentality of another cliche argument. Like, if you say a guy's going to work out like Drew Smiley, well, change the scenery, that type of thing. The other one that gets brought up is he's due. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, he's due for a good start or something like that. And Ricky kind of got into something here that the Phillies are due for. And that's a winning streak. That's, looking at the schedule and going, oh, this is where they could put 6-7 games in a row. So if you look at the not-too-distant future for the Phils, They just wrapped up this series where they took two of four from the Dodgers, which is nice. Then they go out to Pittsburgh, a team that's playing some pretty decent baseball and has, the best second baseman in the game right now in Josh Bell. That guy's knocking the cover off the ball. They have three in Pittsburgh, two in Detroit, then three in Atlanta before they host the San Francisco Giants for three in Philadelphia, obviously. So that series against the San Francisco Giants takes you on from Tuesday, July 30th to Thursday, August 1st. So that series is basically coming in right after you play Atlanta, right before the trade deadline. So obviously the point is you're going to know how much you're really in it by that trade deadline. And look, it's close right now. We all know that. But if they're really going to go and make sure they get that good pitcher, that's pretty much when push is going to come to shove. And with one trade deadline, it's one thing to worry about being outbid by another team. It's another thing about a team maybe not waiting to the last minute and just missing out entirely on adding that talented arm. And that's another concern you have to keep in mind when thinking about that deadline, how quick it's approaching.
Yeah, and not to mention just the Braves. Have you seen the Nationals record since May 24th?
Yeah, it's ungodly.
Buster Olney tweeted it out this morning. They're 32-13 since May 24th.
All right. Well, here's the...
There's a lot of concern.
When I saw that number, here's why it didn't concern me so much. Well, I mean, look, the Nationals...
Because you're only focused on wild card?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
At this point, it's not
but
about...
But there's six teams only focused on wild card.
Yeah, and they're all within three games of one another.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of teams that are going to feel like they're in it.
And this is why Hector Neris is good. Putting that fire in their bellies.
Yeah.
They got a back alley brawl here for the next month and a half.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
I want to make sure I have Hector Neris, though.
Hey, he'll miss three games somewhere. He's getting suspended. That's happening.
Yeah, and Ricky pretty much confirmed that for us. But right now, they're a half game they're half game out behind the Brewers, and they're tied with the Cardinals for a half game out. The Diamondbacks are a game and a half out, so by the time you face them, which is in, a week or two, they're going to be hungry. They're going to be going for it as well. So, like, you need every arm you can possibly get, and you also need to be able to project your future.
Yeah.
And that's where Matt Klentak comes in, and he has to be able to do a good job of doing
that. I just got a bucket list texted in.
Oh, really?
My cousin John, who you know.
Yes, of course. Oh,
says, my bucket list is a Notre Dame game on Saturday, then taking the trip out to Lambeau on Sunday.
Wow, that's a great weekend.
That would be pretty strong.
That is a great week. You know, I crossed this off a couple of years ago for a bucket list. I always wanted to go to the L.A. Coliseum.
I haven't been. John Brightcliff, a buddy who tweets in all the time, said Rose Bowl is one of his.
That was definitely one of mine. And I had a chance to go out there one time, and I didn't.
Oh, that was dumb.
Yeah, I know. Why was I in L.A.? I was in L.A. because of the Sixers, and I had a couple of free days, and it was over the holiday. And sitting at the bar, and somebody came out and said, yeah, we have an extra ticket. If you want to go out, you're more than welcome. And I was like, I would have had to skip like a practice or something.
That sounds pretty dumb, Bob.
I know.
Yeah, I played in the Coliseum.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
My senior year.
USC? Florida State?
Yeah, I think we played USC.
Okay.
Trey, I mean, I went there. I walked through there a couple of times. Never saw a game there.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah. Before you even got into it.
I know. When I looked over at you, you were shaking your head like that.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Well, what were you going to ask?
Well, it's like USC, people think of Southern California. It's not a great neighborhood. Like it's a pretty bad neighborhood.
I'll follow it up with it sucks.
Yeah, and I was wondering if maybe the Coliseum didn't live up to expectations. But yeah, really.
They got the food trucks. Somebody else. They got the food trucks outside.
Yeah,
I had the food truck, the pink taco. Oh my god, delicious!
All right,
It was phenomenal. They had the onions on it and everything.
Pink taco's good. I've had them in Arizona.
You ever had the pink taco, Trey?
No.
Oh my god, you're missing out, man.
It's hard for my cousin out in Scottsdale sent me a shirt a while back.
Uh-huh.
Pink taco. It's hard not to. Giggle a little
bit. You had told me how delicious it was.
Yeah, it's good.
And I finally had the chance to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And there we go.
Is that what they do at the Coliseum? They have food trucks?
They have a bunch of food trucks outside.
At least they don't have food inside?
They do, but it's like nachos and like popcorn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And like a hot dog, maybe.
Yeah.
I think they have four hot dogs for the entire building. But no, they have the food trucks outside. And it was absolutely incredible. And I went around. I walked around. I met Danny Trejo.
Oh, yeah? I love him.
Machete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I met him. He plays like the bad guy in every movie ever.
Yeah.
Didn't he? He had like a taco store.
Yeah. A restaurant.
Trejo Tacos.
Restaurant. Yeah.
Trejo Tacos.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. He's a little fella.
Yeah.
I towered over him.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was big.
No, dude.
Huh.
Minute.
Well, he's like 75. Maybe he shrunk a little bit.
I believe the word is pequeño. I believe the word is pequeño. That's all I got to say. 610-632-0975. Me es muy grande. But we are coming up in a minute here. I want to jump back into those rankings of the Eagles offense with you, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. I still don't know whether to take it as a slap in the face or as a damn. They're getting some respect here. But you had a good way of looking at it when it came to Carson Wentz. 610-632-0975. It is 924 here at 975 The Fanatic.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I've been trying to find this clip all morning, and it's the guy at the Open Championship yesterday who, you know, people are saying that these guys remind them of the regular hacks such as ourselves when we go out on the golf course because of how bad the scores were at least. But this guy reaches into his bag yesterday, and I look at him, and he's smoking a cigarette. Darren Clark is who it was. Thank you, Jamie. And he's smoking a cigarette through Bob.
Thank Bob.
Thank you, Bob, to Jamie. Daryl Clark?
Darren Clark.
Darren Clark.
Yeah.
He's a Irish bloke.
He's a silver-haired gent, right? He's a silver-haired lad.
A really fun and good dude.
Well, this guy, like, for a moment, put John Daly to shame, as far as I'm concerned. Because he goes, he's in the rough, and he's smoking a cigarette on the course, and you hear him go, they mic'd him up, and you hear him go, well, if it goes left, it goes left, but only said that in like a charming Irish accent that I can't do. Mm-hmm. Oh, if it goes left, it goes left. And he goes over and he grabs a club and he like puts it 3 feet from the pin, like crushed
it. Was it left of the pin?
A little bit.
Yeah, he was right. Yeah.
And I was like,
that's how good those guys are.
I was like, damn, man. Like, I know people want to make a big deal out of like the bad scores, but yeah, they'll put any one of us to shame. Let's get Joe. Or first, I want to get your feeling on this, Trey, because we went through this earlier from ESPN because they had ranked the offenses throughout the NFL as to the most weapons in the arsenal, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles came in as the fourth best offense, preseason rankings, if you will, fourth best offense behind the Browns at three, the Chiefs at two, and the Rams at one.
It's a little presumptuous for the Browns already, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So you have Chubb, you have Johnson, you have Beckham, and you have Jarvis Landry with Baker Mayfield slinging it, right? So those are the guys that people are looking at and going, ah, this offense is going to be something special. And then the Chiefs, obviously, with Patrick Mahomes, but Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, they have some guys that need to pick up the ropes for some guys that aren't there anymore. And then you go over to Cooper Kupp and Jared Goff of the Rams, and then Todd Gurley and whatever you can get from him, and Daryl Henderson. I think they're a third-round pick, a running back. So they're looking at those offenses to be pretty potent. But as you pointed out earlier, Trey, the only thing that's keeping the Eagles from not being third or even second on this list,
mm-hmm,
maybe even one, is the fact that Carson Wentz is coming back from another injury.
Yeah, you have Carson Wentz coming back from another injury, so you can't just automatically, you look at what they've done this with this offense. You bring in DeSean Jackson, which gives you that over the top threat. You know, Carson is primed to come back. You have Jason Peters coming back off of injury. Brandon Brooks is coming off of Achilles. Lane Johnson. So it's not just about the weapons; it's about who's protecting the quarterback as well. So you look at all the talent and all the weapons that's around him, and you still like, all right, you know what? We still have Carson coming off of injury. He was coming off of injury last year, and then he had a back injury. So I like that they're at four right now, because now you can go out there and prove that you're number one. Mm-hmm. Instead of being at number one and everybody has all these expectations, and if, you know what I'm saying, I'd rather you go ahead, all right, this is where we are, go earn number one. Go take number one.
Just for reference real quick, Cowboys were sixth. I mean, Jason Witten is back. So,
Jason Witten is back.
And he's bald
His
again.
Hair is gone, but yeah, he's back.
He embraced his inner Witten.
Yes.
I almost want to root for him now
that
he's accepted his membership with the bald community.
Yeah.
But what do you do with the wig afterwards? I mean, is it
Like, I think you like
dress up for your wife
in the locker.
Yeah, you just you put it up.
And you a little role playing in the boudoir.
Yeah. See, yeah, I feel that. Yeah.
This you know? Coming from Jamie, I think there's something deeper.
I have a Scotty Hartnell wig at home. Still have it. It was a Flyers giveaway a couple years ago.
I never thought I'd say this about you, but I know too much now. Now I know too much.
Has that come into play?
No, Addie would laugh me out of the house.
Okay. I thought maybe she was like became.
No. Put the wig on, man. Change it up a little bit.
If I was a toupee guy and then wasn't anymore, I would retire the toupee. Like
in
I
your
have,
house?
I would have a ceremony.
And like get like one of those basketball like you know things that you case and autograph in.
Yeah.
And put it on like a stand.
I would
in the
raise
store.
It on like a mannequin head. Just set it up real nice.
I would do with
on the mantle.
I would do what the Raptors fan did with the Kawhi Leonard jersey.
Raise it to the Raptors.
I would fake raise it to the Raptors in my house. That's what I would do. Honestly, the toupee would just go up, and I'd play a song like I don't know some song that would like celebrate the career of my toupee. That's what I would do. Yeah,
I would do what Miss Rosa did to Trey's old water bed. I'd set it ablaze.
No, man, you got to keep the toupee, man. Keep the thing in a nice little airtight location.
Do where, toupees you know, go bad?
I don't know.
Maybe they do.
Yeah, they actually arrive bad. So that's how kind of how it works out.
You know, I want to protect it from the elements.
Maybe Jamie, I would keep it in a glass case and just be like, you know, that was Burt Reynolds' toupee. And I would just like lie about celebrity toupees who it belonged to. Let's get Joe the Northeast up here. You're on nice. Giants were eight. Cowboys were, so Eagles were fourth. Cowboys were sixth. Giants were eighth. Redskins were 28th. Joe, what's on your mind, brother?
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
First off, I believe in the Phillies. I think we can somehow pull this out, but I just can't watch them anymore, man. I can't stand that you know pretty boy coach we have, and I just can't stand his smug look, his interviews, his post game interviews. You know, we got to play better baseball to win games. Of course we do, man. I got you know little league coaches that know that stuff.
Yeah,
I just can't watch his comments. His comments just you know get under my skin.
I have never like I actually root for Gabe Kapler, but since the Harper laughing at his suggestion of the curveball machine, I'm out. Like, I don't have confidence. He does not inspire confidence in me, let's put it that way, as the Phillies skipper. I don't know how much of control he has in this locker room, how much the players respect him, but I'm out. I'm out on him, man. I'm hoping the Phillies win. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I hope they win 10 World Series in a row. But I just don't have a lot of confidence they'll win one with him.
Yeah, just the comments he comes up with, you know, the one line dingers he has, is just you know, they irritate me, and I just can't watch, you know, can't watch them anymore. So I'm sitting back, holding my breath, waiting for the Eagles to start, man.
There you go, man. You excited about the? Are you you expecting a lot from the Eagles this year?
I just hope you know Wentz can stay healthy. That's my biggest, you know, like everybody else in the city. Hope he can stay healthy.
Well, if he does, I'm telling you right now, at least the conference championship. What's your bucket list thing, Joe?
Well, if you guys can help me out with these two, I'd be greatly appreciated. But now, why one is, you know, generic, I want to, you know, skydive, you know, cliff jump and all that good stuff.
That's but a great one.
My biggest one is, you know, as simple as driving over the Chesapeake Bridge, man. I don't know why it's one on my bucket list, but.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Well, you haven't done that yet?
Oh, do it.
Nah. Well, I've never been to a concert either. That's another one on my list. But, yeah, that's my go-to bucket list to drive across that bridge.
Joe, are you a hostage? Is someone holding you hostage? Are you okay?
Nah, man. I'm okay. I'm fine. I've just, you know, I never really been down
so
that.
So, wait. Club. If you're a concert home. Virgin, what's the one to pop the cherry?
Oh, I don't know. I would go to a Madonna concert. I don't even care. I would go to any concert right now.
No. Hold on a second. A preference is key here.
Yeah.
What type of music do you like there,
Joe?
I listen to everything, man. I'll go to a hip-hop concert. I go to a rock concert. I go to a jazz concert. I don't care what it is.
I wish we would have talked to you yesterday. My daughter went to Wiz Khalifa last night, and I think she had an extra ticket.
There you go.
Khalifa.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go to a Wiz concert. I'd probably go to like a Wu concert or something like that, but I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would go to a Wiz concert.
Wow.
You can't be picky if you don't go.
Yeah, really. No, but hey, those are...
I got standards.
There you go. You have to have standards.
Joe, I'll tell you this much, Joe. Here you go. You go to FanFest, and maybe Nelly will perform while he does his mic check. How about that?
It's hot in here, man. I'm down with that.
So look at it! Joe with the references. Good luck with being hostage and whoever's holding you. But hopefully they're feeding you well. Joe in the Northeast, you are going to FanFest, man, because that's how we roll here. That's how we roll. Now, I got to take this guy now.
Yeah, you do.
I think he has an issue.
And Trey, you and I can sit back and laugh.
His name is Angry Al.
Oh, he's a regular.
Is he a regular?
He'll be at FanFest. You'll meet him.
Angry Al, have we talked to you?
Lovely gentleman.
What's up, gentlemen?
All right.
Yo, Al.
What's up, buddy?
Chill it, man. Why are you crying so much, Mark?
What are you crying? Who's crying?
About nerves.
I can say I don't like something.
Well, yeah, you can say you don't like it, but you're like, oh, his suspension is at risk. They're not going to give him extra games because he dropped the F-bomb?
No, but they might give him less games.
Well, he's only going to get two anyway.
Three.
Now, he'll only get two.
I don't know. Ricky Bow just told us it's probably going to be three.
Oh, Ricky Bow. Ricky Bow, Mr. 3.99 ERA.
Ah, Mr. All-Star to you, bucko.
Wow.
You come at me. You don't come at Ricky Bow.
Okay, all right, check this out, right? You're whining a little bit too much. The team needs somebody to stand up.
Bryce Harper.
Come on, man.
He's in 312 in his last 22 games, and he's always fiery. What more do you want?
He never says nothing. Somebody needed to say something. Look, Sam brought it up earlier. Muncy stepped on Hoskins' foot, then Turner kicked him. Somebody should have busted somebody with a ball. Much less drop the F-bomb. Plus, he got everybody in the city a free Chick-fil-A. Are you kidding me?
You can't argue with
Chick-fil-A.
You can't argue Chick-fil-A, man.
Angry Al, I concede the point. I got nothing. If there's Chick-fil-A to be had, I'm not going to get in the way of that.
That's right.
Thanks, Al.
Drop the mic.
Good talking to you, buddy.
I bet you Joe Allen B is in line.
Wait, so you bet
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah,
Chick-fil-A. He's on a diet.
You didn't hear Chief Beef talk about his almost four-pack?
Yeah, four-pack, and it wasn't a two or three shake.
Angry Al, you're nothing but a peach, man. Thanks for the call, buddy.
All right, take it easy, man.
610-632-0975. 610. Does this mean I have to name myself the tool of the week?
That would work.
Yeah, why not?
We already did. If we're going to call others out, we should call ourselves out.
Oh, you bastards.
We had a meeting. Trey, Bob, and I agree.
All right, well, I am the Hollett's True Value Tool of the Week, then, I guess, for my stance on Hector Neris. Don't forget about Hollett's True Value. Remember, Hollett's has it, 700 Ridge Pike in Lafayette Hill. If you need it, Hollett's has it. The Tool of the Week, that's me. All plants, trees, and shrubs are now buy one, get one free at Hollett's True Value and Garden Center. Once again, all plants, trees, and shrubs are now buy one, get one free at Hollett's True Value and Garden Center. Hey, guess what? Coming up on Twitch.tv, you can follow us at 97.5 The Fanatic, and we'll be on Twitch.tv for the final segment of the show today. You can follow Farzetta and Trey with Bob, Jamie, and Samantha on Twitch at 97.5 The Fanatic on Twitch.tv for our during show showcast. How about that one? Also coming up, we got to give you our big sexy report from Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse, always on top. Time of the Fanatic, 9:43.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Is it Nelly?
No.
No.
I know this song.
A lot considered the greatest ever.
New Kids on the Block.
No.
I have no idea.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
it's Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Earlier, Jay-Z.
I just want to love you.
Yes, you're right. No, yeah, it is Jay-Z. I'm ready.
Give it to me.
I know it's not Frank Sinatra.
That is true.
That is very true.
Yeah. Frank could have used some of those beats.
Frank didn't need no beats. All right.
He was
keep
cool,
your beats
though.
To yourself, man. Yeah, no, hey, you don't got to tell me, man. No, but
Frank was the coolest.
You know who is keeping Tupac alive?
The aliens. At Area 51.
I was going to say that, Dre.
Apparently. By the way, speaking of Sinatra, Tank Sinatra just owned the internet.
What do you do?
I don't know if it's original or not, but he has the Instagram.
Usually they're not.
Yeah, the Instagram account Tank Sinatra that does the memes.
It's pretty solid, yeah.
He combined two things, three things actually, And instead of, you know, the Area 51 thing going on, the aging app going on, and, you know, I guess Game of Thrones ending this year, he combined all three and had a picture of Arya Stark aged, and it said Arya 51.
I saw that. That's pretty good.
Got it all.
I get it.
That's one of those things that's so funny. They just go, man, that's funny. They nailed that one. They nailed that one. Let's get a final on our Twitter poll, which from what I understand, Sam Wilson, is the closest Twitter poll in the history of Twitter polls. Brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for window shop, windownation.com. Call 866-90NATION and visit windownation.com. And also get 50% off on all their windows, any style window, plus make no down payment with no payments, no interest for 12 full months. That's right. What do we got, Sam?
So I don't think it's our closest, because I believe we did have a 50-50 once, but I can't recall. But this morning we asked, did you like Hector Neris taunting the Dodgers? We had just under 1,300 votes today. 53% said yes.
50,
so it
was
very close.
Oh my goodness.
We win.
An overwhelming majority. 53% saying that no. It's not that good.
Hey, my dad always said a win's a win, doesn't matter by how much.
They said they like it.
53% said I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
I got distracted there for a second because
Well, that's why you're the tool of the week.
That is why I'm the tool of the week.
There you go.
And it's also why I got to mention the Big Sexy report. Our Big Sexy report has to be our shout out earlier in the week to Trey's waterbed. The Big Sexy weather, or the Literally. Big Sexy report comes to us by way of Delilah's Gentleman's Club and Steakhouse, always on top. Describe the scene for me once again, Trey.
Oh, the waterbed, it was a leather waterbed, you see, a leather headboard, you know, nice little waterbed. It had my nightstands, were black leather nightstands with these, first of all, there were some topless mermaids offering up a pearl of light.
Oh, wait, mermaids?
Yeah, they were mermaids.
Oh, yeah, one on each side.
Oh, yeah. And so every now and then, you know.
What's better than a mermaid?
Two mermaids. You wanna, you had to have two mermaids. It was going crazy.
Were you then their merman?
Yeah, I was merman. And then when you wanted to spice things, you snatch the sheets off, you know what I'm saying? Because it was all plastic, you see. It's all rubber. Yes. And then you just squirt some baby oil on that full motion waterbed. And then you just get the slipping and sliding. You know, you time the wave out, baby.
We got action here in the center. Yeah, our audience right, on Twitch is enjoying watching you, you know, demonstrate.
I'm glad they get to see him.
Can you just real quick? I'll look away. Can you just do the clapping motion?
Because what you got to do when you got the waterbed and you got the motion, you got to time that wave. You got to make sure when that wave come back, you're going right back in. Right back in.
And there we are. All right, let's get our takeaways of the day before that midday show takes over with Jamie and Andrew today, in for Anthony and Jason. Sam Wilson, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway I just learned over the last break, and that is that buoyant is something that can float.
Wait, what?
Say what?
You just the word buoyant. I didn't know what that meant.
You just learned this?
No, he said babies were buoyant. What?
I was talking about Dwayne Wade's daughter, who's like not even a year old. And I was like, oh my God, she can already swim, because somebody put out a video of Dwayne Wade's daughter swimming.
Uh-huh.
And I go, well, babies are naturally buoyant. And Bobby goes, yeah. And then Sam goes, what's that mean? And I wanted to say they get drunk all the time, but I didn't.
This is just another lesson, vocab lesson for me.
See that?
You know?
Look at that.
Sam's vocab.
Now we're all better people. Jamie, let's take away the day.
My takeaway of the day is if you're already sick of me, too bad. You got another 4 hours coming as I fill in with Andrew Salchunas on the midday show.
We're going to crank the studio heat up to about 105 just to make you sweat even more.
Get back to my natural elements.
Yeah, right. Bob Cooney, take away the day.
I'm going to do the reverse of you. Sam, how old are you? 23? God bless you.
Almost 24.
There we go. There we go. Trey Thomas, take away the day.
It's a buoyant. I don't know. TGIF.
TGIF, y'all.
You could say you were buoyant in that water bed.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Hey.
Hey. Trey would take a lady to see, as I like to say. My takeaway of the day is that Drew Smyly better only be the beginning of what the Phillies are going to try to do to make this rotation better. It better be only the beginning of what they're doing to try to make this team better and solidify a spot as a playoff team. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Stay tuned for Jamie and Andrew Salchunas coming up, filling in for the midday guys.
Yeah!
Gargano and Mertitas middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, yo.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.